Recently, there was a major forum on our black bear population here in Connecticut. And it seems like every year for the past, I'll say decade, we've seen the number of black bear sightings increase in our great state of Connecticut. But I think what's been alarming in probably the last 5 years is how many bear break-ins there have been. And it seems like the interactions are becoming more and more frequent. And so we wanted to be able to talk about this, much like it was discussed in this recent forum in Warren, Connecticut. Joining us to talk more about this today is Jason Hawley, who is the supervising wildlife biologist for the Connecticut Black Bear Program. Jason, welcome to WACC. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. I think it's a really important topic. And I'm curious, Jason, since clearly this is more your expertise, could you share maybe some facts and figures, some statistics, how prevalent the black bear population has become in Connecticut, but also some of those interactions? I was reading something alarming about how many bear break-ins there have been in recent years, and it's a pretty high number.
Yeah, so our population has been expanding for, you know, about 25 years now. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, we had a few bear sightings in far northwest Connecticut, Heartland, Colebrook area. But in those past two decades, that population has really grown and expanded in geographical range. So as it happened, it really moved from more rural areas into suburban and urban areas. So that's where we're really starting to see these conflicts, and it really all arises from people not really understanding or not caring, that they need to keep human foods away from bears. So our biggest problems in this state are bird feeders. That's an easy source of calories for bears, and garbage is the other big one. So, bears spend a lot of time in suburban and urban neighborhoods just looking for bird feeders and garbage. And that's how they get what we call habituated and food conditioned. And, the more habituated they are, the more likely they're going to do something really bold, like break into somebody's house. So, I've really seen that problem, escalate here over the last, like you said, about a decade.
I'm curious, though, Jason, because people have had garbage outside of their home, like garbage bins, forever. Bird feeders have always been sort of I think Connecticut, we have a lot of bird watchers, a lot of bird enthusiasts. And so some of these recommendations, while they totally make sense, do you feel like it's more prevalent now just because we are seeing so many, like such a healthy, almost too healthy of a population of bears, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, you have two different things going on. You have biological carrying capacity, so, how many bears the environment can hold. Are there enough resources there? But that's biological carrying capacity, so that's really not taking humans into account. And then we have cultural carrying capacity, which is how many bears, our society, our state is willing to have. And those are two very different things. And right now we're at a point where at least in Western Connecticut, we've exceeded cultural carrying capacity where, people are kind of just getting fed up with, and understandably so. I mean, if you're sleeping at 1 a.m. and a bear breaks into your house and is raiding your refrigerator while you're asleep, I'd say that's a little ridiculous, and people shouldn't have to deal with that.
And so I'm curious, and again, Jason Hawley is here, supervising wildlife biologist for the Connecticut Black Bear Program. When we see, as you mentioned, yes, we are seeing certainly more of the incidents happen in the western half of Connecticut. In fact, when I was looking at the 2025 reports, it says that incidents of bears entering or breaking into homes occurred in 18 different municipalities statewide. But it does feel like, Jason, so for example, I live here in Milford, And just in the last month, we have had sightings of black bears on very busy roadways. I don't mm-hmm. really remember seeing black, and I've lived here for 7 years. I grew up in Fairfield County, so I don't remember really seeing bears too often growing up. But I've seen now a bear in my driveway twice, which has never been mm-hmm. the case before. And we've seen them on busy roads, like, you know, one that we even have speed enforcement cameras on because there's so much bad driver behavior and it's a very congested and trafficy area. My point of those examples is that even seems bizarre to me that we are seeing bears in unfamiliar territory, like not wooded rural areas, but even busy trafficky areas. And that sounds concerning, seems concerning.
Yeah, so what's happening there is, you know, bears don't recognize our human boundaries. So, well, you shouldn't go into this town because it's more developed. And what's happened as the northwest part of the state has really fully recovered a bear population there, now you have younger bears that are being pushed out of that area, right? So that landscape in northwest Connecticut can only support a certain number of bears. And that's what, you know, that's the biological mechanism that causes that population to expand geographically. So that's why we're seeing bears being pushed further south, you know, in Connecticut, like you're talking about down in Milford, because really all that suitable habitat or more suitable habitat up in northwest Connecticut is occupied. So especially these younger bears, male bears this time of year, you know, they're being kind of kicked out by their mother and they're inexperienced and they just start wandering, looking for their own home range, where to set up shop. So that's kind of two things going on at the same time. We have the population expanding, but then we also have these younger bears that are dispersing this time of year. And, you know, they often take a wrong turn and end up in an area where they really shouldn't be. So we see a lot of that this time of year.
Duh, bears. We are living with a lot of black bears here in Connecticut. And we're talking to Jason Hawley, supervising wildlife biologist for the Connecticut Black Bear Program. And actually, I want to let people know we are going to link the Connecticut State of the Bears 2026 report to our website, voiceofct.com, so you can look through, see some pretty cool interactive maps and charts and statistics and all the things that you may want to know about when it comes to our black bear population. Jason, we got to go to the elephant in the room question, which, of course, has been a debate for really many years. But in recent legislative sessions, it feels like year after year, there is a call to have a bear hunt put into place here in Connecticut. And for those of you at home who don't know, there are currently about 30 states in America with some sort of regulated bear hunt. And interestingly enough, when you look at the Northeast, it does seem like, besides Rhode Island, Connecticut is the only New England state that does not have some sort of regulated bear hunt. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts all have one. New Jersey and New York and Pennsylvania as well. Jason, what about Connecticut?
Yeah, Connecticut's definitely an outlier there. I mean, we are, to my knowledge, we're actually the only state in the nation that has a substantial black bear population without a harvest. So, you know, there have been many bills that have been brought up in the legislature over the last decade or so. We've supported many of them. You know, I'm not a politician, so I kind of just stick to the science. But, you know, the science is telling us that, you know, a bear hunt, or at least some sort of population management, you know, is one important tool for bear management that we're not currently using in the state. We're pretty much using all of our other tools, but that's the one state or tool that we're not using. And most of the other states who have, you know, far lower conflict levels are using. But again, I'm not a politician. You know, I have to work within the laws that we have in the state. And right now we don't have that. So for now, the really important things are everyone's got to do their part. Everyone's got to keep attractants unavailable to bears. And again, the two big ones are bird feeders and garbage, but things like grills, compost, anything you can think of that might attract a bear to your area. And really, people need to work together as communities, right? Because if you have a community of 10 households and 9 households are doing everything correctly, but one's not, that'll cause problems for everyone in that neighborhood, you know, by habituating and food conditioning that bear. So really, everyone has to work together, take responsibility. There's a lot of great resources on DEEP's website on how to avoid conflicts with bears. Also, BearWise, which is a nonprofit group that all the information on there is developed by bear biologists. So it's very useful information for people on how to avoid conflicts with bears. So I suggest people check out that website, BearWise.org, a wealth of information on there and how to avoid conflicts.
So I'm curious, Jason, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think it is important when we get away from politics, honestly, and we do get down to the science. And again, I do know there are animal advocates out there, and I do understand the concern about cubs being left behind. Like, I get it. I'm an animal activist myself, and I understand it. But I need to just know from, I know DEEP last year for the first time said we have to have some kind of regulated hunt. I mean, and it was the first time we had heard from DEEP being like, hey, we don't want to get into the politics. We just want to give you the facts. And the facts are, it's kind of crazy that we don't have something to regulate the population. But is that what you are saying? We should have some kind of a, it would just make sense to have something like that. Again, not trying to put politics on you, but just, I'm logically just asking, would that make sense from your professional opinion?
Yeah, I mean, the science and the data certainly tell us that that's an important tool that we need, right? So that just having that hunting season over generations of bears, that even slight pressure, you know, the science tells us that, you know, hunting season will remove the most habituated and food conditioned bears at a higher rate than it will bears that haven't been involved in conflict. So you know, and just some sort of population management, even if it's small. Yeah, the science and the data certainly tells us that's important. You know, when we look at other states around us that have more bears, just as many people, and fewer conflicts, you know, that kind of shows us that, you know, that's working in other states. And that's the one tool we don't have. But again, you know, I'm not a politician. I can't wave my wand. So, you know, for now, we work within the constructs we've been given. But yes, we do support that. And we think, you know, that it's an important tool that's missing from our toolbox right now.
So in the meantime, as you mentioned, Jason, and again, Jason Hawley is the supervising wildlife biologist for the Connecticut Black Bear Program. Obviously, you've said to eliminate the bird feeders, to clean the grills, to, you know, make sure your trash bins are out of the way. When we talk about these interactions, you know, people walking their dogs and there's a black bear, or when you have a black bear on your property, you know, if you have pets, to make sure they're not interacting. Are there other things that people should be doing to just stay safe or being proactive? What, any other suggestions people should be thinking about?
Yeah, that's a great point. Being proactive is super important, right? So it's very tempting, you know, when there's a bear in your yard to go grab your cell phone and start taking pictures and videos. And maybe some people even try to get closer to them to get better video. We strongly discourage that. That's part of the habituation process, where it's making the bears understand, oh, people aren't something to be scared of. People are nice to me and I get food when I come here. So we really encourage people to try to scare the bears out of their yard. There's this really kind of hokey saying we have, if you care, scare the bear, right? And, you know, we're not asking people to, you know, pick up a stick and charge after a bear and, you know, start going after it. But if you can do it from a safe, you know, like up on your deck or something, blow an air horn, yell at the bear, you know, shoot it with a paintball gun is an important thing. We don't want people shooting bears in the face because we don't want any eyes getting out, but it sounds cruel, you know, doing that, but that's what's best for the bear, right? Because that's teaching that bear well, I really shouldn't be around people. There's nothing good that comes out of this. So, again, you know, everyone doing their part, you know, not letting bears just hang out in your yard and feel comfortable. You know, once you remove your attractants, which, again, we strongly promote bear-resistant garbage containers, taking down bird feeders, cleaning grills, cleaning up pet food. Once you've done all that, you know, sometimes these bears will still kind of hang out in people's yards, especially if you have a neighbor that's feeding. So it's really important to do your best to safely scare that bear out of your yard so that it's not comfortable there.
Jason Hawley, I want to thank you for what you do professionally, supervising wildlife biologists for the Connecticut Black Bear Program, but also thank you for sharing all this information with us here on WACC. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And for those of you listening at home, as I mentioned, I am going to have links on our website, voiceofct.com, including the most recent Connecticut State of the Bears report. We'll have that link on voiceofct.com under Melissa in the Morning.